Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Just to upset him.
Do 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 do.
Can you hear us again? I feel so far from you.
Do 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 do. I remember.
Yeah, the
don't worry, worry.
When Pat walks in the door, I'm like, Tron sucks. He's like, okay. That's generally what happens.
Pat doesn't say okay.
No, he doesn't. He tries to defend it.
I don't need to defend it other than just saying, nope, you're wrong.
I'm like, it was an excellent music video for a great soundtrack.
Pat just needs to get with the you're wrong plan.
With the you're wrong plan?
Yeah, just like, nope, you're wrong.
Have you recorded with Pat since they announced the SNES?
We recorded yesterday, yes.
Oh, because you guys talked. Okay, because I was going to say, I haven't heard you guys talk about that on the podcast
yet. That was yesterday, and the SNES was discussed.
Yeah. I'm not a...
There was some discussion.
It's very nice for an emulator that plays 20 games.
21 games.
21 games, sorry. However, so when I saw that came out, you know, and I talked with you and I think I talked with Pat as well about it. It's like everyone was, you know, it's going to be shorted of blah, 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 scalpers and people.
Well, I don't know. Cause the pre-orders were available in the UK for a long time. Like in comparison, like, I mean, they still sold out pretty fast, like 2 or 3 hours. But then some more showed up after that. But there were still SNESs available for pre-order the same day it was announced in the UK. So, with that being said, compared to the NES, it was available for a lifetime. Because the NES was gone in minutes.
Okay.
Less than a minute, NES sold out.
I had a feeling...
So, it was literally less than a minute for the NES to sell out, and the SNES was available for multiple hours. So, the quantity of product must be a monstrous difference.
That's why I said... I said this to you, I think it was on the podcast, I don't remember if it was not, but the big thing with the Amiibos, you know, the Amiibos came out and everyone was, you know, the first wave was completely short, no one could get what they wanted, prices were ridiculous.
Yeah, you could only get like Mario.
Yeah, and everyone was, you know, EB Games employees were pulling out of the boxes and selling them out the back like Goodfellas, you know, it's like when little Joe Pesci and little Ray Liotta are selling cigarettes.
You need
cigarettes.
An Amiibo! I got an Amiibo.
This song, and the guy's like, what do you need? I need two links. Here, I got two links. There you go. That's what it was like. But then after that first wave, everything was fine.
Well, the wave four was really bad too. But since wave four, they've got they fixed it basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always iffy things. Like wave four could have been slow, and there could have been some manufacturing thing or something that caused it to be low. Whatever.
They fixed it though.
Yeah.
The Amiibo situation is unfucked currently.
Yeah. So like Nintendo doesn't want to put money into the hands of the black market or third parties. They don't want to. That's the reason why Nintendo exists, is because they want to eliminate third party as much as possible.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling this is going to be a way bigger release than it possibly could be. But I got out my Super Nintendo just because I was like, well, I want to get this. My wife was like, we should get this. I'm like, you don't like any of these games that are on here. And I was like, you just like playing Tetris. That's it.
I like Tetris.
Yeah. She has Tetris. Yeah, like you like Tetris and Dr. Mario. And I don't even know if they released Dr. Mario for SNES. So I got out my old SNES and I was hooking it up and everything like that. And I was texting Pat back and forth. I'm like, this isn't working. What's going on? It turns out that my games were just disgustingly dirty and I needed to clean
them.
Sounds
about right.
And I was like, I got towards the end there and Pat's like, well, why don't you try this? And why don't you try this? And I'm like, Pat, should I just clean the games with isopropyl alcohol? And he's like, I wouldn't do that. And I'm like, why not? And he goes, well, Nintendo doesn't recommend doing that. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, we went through all of this stuff, and literally after I cleaned the game, it's running perfectly.
Yep.
I'm like, you asshole.
That's why you gotta have the you have to have the cart cleaning system.
The cart cleaning system. Should I have called Nintendo Super Nintendo's helpline that's on the
you
back of the Super Nintendo?
The SNES thing with the little Mario with the screwdriver.
Yeah, I would. I imagine it's like when Homer calls the guys for Mr. Sparkle, and he's like, "What's up, Chief? Number one, you like Mrs.
Hello, American Joe?
Yeah, hello, American Joe. How did you know my name?" Yeah, that's what I imagined. But I got it working and everything like that. And, of course, you know, I put it all out there so that, see, if my daughter wants to play it, she's six now, and she's just like, "I don't like this." I'm like, "Well, it's Mario. You love Mario." And she goes, "I don't like using the controller." Because she loves Mario Run on the iPad and the iPhone.
Right, but it's just, it's a touchscreen.
Yeah, it's a touchscreen. She's like, "It hurts my thumbs." I'm like, "Ugh, all right." So I still have it hooked up, though. I've been playing Super Metroid for like 48 hours straight.
Yeah, I like that Super Metroid's gonna be on there. I thought the selection of games was quite good. Pat, yeah, of course, was very upset that Earthbound's on it. Yeah, and I was just like, yes.
I just don't understand why he hates it so much. When I also had this conversation where I was doing the Steve level of trolling.
Pat hates RPGs to begin with.
No. Pat can't read. That's just what I've been saying now. It's like, "Pat, you just can't read. I understand that. I can teach you how to read. It's fine." He's like, "I don't want a book on my game." He's like, "Video games aren't supposed to be books." And I go, "Tell that to Zork." And he's like, "Shut up."
Dude, Zork is awesome.
I know. He's like, "That game was designed to be a Big Bang reference."
I played a bunch of text adventures. Like, the biggest thing
I don't
did,
like text adventures, that by was, the way.
I played a shit ton of them,
Well,
though.
I mean, yeah.
I wouldn't play them now. Like, I actually, someone they actually made a new one, a group of people made a new Lovecraft one.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, "Oh, I love text adventures." And then, like, I started playing it, and I'm like, "Oh, my God, this is terrible."
I hate text adventures.
Like, text adventures are actually terrible.
Yeah. I think the game selection's pretty good, too. I played Super Metroid. Love Super Metroid. I think that they missed out on a couple really key games that should have been on there. Pilot Wings should have been on there.
Yeah, Pat said Pilot Wings too, but I don't think that many people remember Pilot Wings.
Yeah, but it was like one of those initial releases. They put F-Zero on there. You should put
F-Zero's
Pilot Wings.
Awesome though.
I don't like. Well, I'm not a big racing game fan, so
I don't like most racing games either. But I really like F-Zero.
I mean, it seems kind of redundant to put F-Zero and Mario Kart on the game because it's the same game.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, if they didn't put Mario Kart, there would have been riots. there actually would have been riots. Although everyone was like shocked that there's no Chrono Trigger, and I was pretty annoyed that Secret of Mana made it on there over Chrono Trigger. Like, come on,
you know. It's half dozen of one, 12 of the other, because I'm a bigger fan of Secret of Mana than Chrono Trigger.
I think Secret of Mana is a bad game.
You do? I love it.
Except for the three-player mode. Like, that was cool. The multi-tap thing.
Oh,
I like Secret of Evermore way more than Secret of Mana.
It's all personal taste. It's, you know, RPG selection is, JRPGs are like a...
It's true.
It's like wine, you know? Yeah. It's like, you have your tastes.
Yep. You're like, "I don't like this wine." It's like, "I think this wine is good."
Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna defend Secret of Mana over Chrono Trigger because I think they're both very good games. I like Secret of Mana better.
I do really think that Secret of Mana is really good as a three-player game. Like, yeah, I think if you do the full experience of Secret of Mana where you play all three players, I think it's really good.
Oh, I don't think I've ever played it with more than myself because I've lived a very lonely life. Yeah, and I think Final Fight should have been on there.
Oh, Final Fight's a good game.
Yeah. It's like that initial release schedule for SNES is what they probably should have gotten on there. Mm-hmm. And they got, you know, a pretty good selection. There was a couple on there that was just kind of like, meh. Like, you don't really need to have, you know, all of this on there. And they should have included Mario All-Stars. For some odd reason, they didn't.
It is weird.
Because that would have added four games for the price of one.
This is true.
Yeah. Even though all those Mario games are terrible.
No,
they exist solely for nostalgia purposes.
I mean, the original Mario's not bad.
I mean, by the time that they got to Super Mario, you kind of were like, okay, they've perfected this 2D platformer. They cannot like do any better. Like Yoshi's Island, which is essentially the same thing, is still not as good as Super Mario.
Yeah, I mean, Mario World is really, really good.
Mario World is amazing. I know a lot of people that love Mario 64 too, but I don't think
Mario 64.
I don't think Mario 64 holds a candle to Super Mario World.
I agree. I think Mario 64 people remember fondly because of what it was. It was like a big deal because it's like, oh, it's the first like big like 3D Mario game.
Yeah.
You know, obviously.
I mean, it was a fine game.
It was a huge technological step forward. So like you can't discredit that, but I didn't think it was that great of a game.
Also,
N64, it had good music though.
Well, N64 is also an inferior platform to the Super Nintendo.
This is true. I mean, Super Nintendo is the best console ever made, like not close. So
it's just
fact.
I also but so the Super Nintendo stuff, I've been playing it because my kid, you know, screw it. I'm not even going to put up with that crap.
Super Metroid's awesome.
Super Metroid is probably one of the best games of all time. How come there's never been, have we ever talked about the fact that there's not been a Metroid RPG out there? I know we talked about Castlevania before.
Like a turn-based RPG?
No, like a tabletop. Tabletop.
That'd be pretty hard. Everyone would just want to be Samus.
Well, I mean, you could do other sort of like bounty hunters that don't have to be Samus.
I guess that's true.
You get like there's generic bounty hunters. I know they did a Metroid comic not too long ago where there was another guy, where there was like a guy bounty hunter who teamed up with Samus every once in a while because boys can't read comic books about girls. They're like,
ew, gross. Gross, a girl.
And I always hate cosplay for Samus because no one ever does the power suit.
That's not accurate. There's plenty of people who do the power
there's
suit.
There's few and far between. There's always the girl who does the
Zero suit?
The Zero suit.
There's still plenty who do the power suit, I assure
Very
you.
Very rarely in comparison. I haven't seen any.
In comparison?
Any.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, but that's because bodysuit cosplays are just lazy and easy.
Yeah.
Like, that's why D.Va is the most popular character from Overwatch to cosplay because you just buy the bodysuit. You buy the bodysuit, put pink triangles on your face, cosplay done.
Like cosplay done.
Because it is.
I don't know what this reference is because I don't play Overwatch.
Okay, well, she's a character who's literally wearing a bodysuit.
Yeah.
Like, she's a girl who wears a bodysuit and has pink triangles on her face. Like, that's the character in the game, so it's super easy to lazy cosplay. You just buy the fucking bodysuit.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
I mean, I go to infinitely more conventions than you do, at least in the Chicagoland area. You know, I go to at least four in the Chicago area.
You gotta go to the cosplay conventions though, like Dragon Con, etc.
Yeah,
that's where you're gonna see. That's where you're gonna see people at that kind of level.
I've been invited to Dragon Con
and an anime conventions. Anime conventions will have a lot more.
I've been to anime conventions,
bigger cosplay like that, like bigger stuff, like Gundam cosplay, like in the suits.
Well, I wanted to go to what's the big one in Chicago? Asen. But I keep on like every time I look at it, like I'm like, oh, I'd love to, you know, because my daughter likes a lot of that Pokemon stuff and everything like that. I'm like, there'd be so much crap, like Japanese crap, that she could just, like, peruse and pick out. But then I look at, like, the commercials that they play over here in Chicagoland and, like, see the people, and I'm just like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I know.
I wouldn't recommend going to ASAP.
I'm just like, these people just—they sadden me.
I just wouldn't recommend going to ASIN. I don't. I recommend against going to conventions.
Yeah,
number
you
one.
Don't. You don't like conventions.
Number one, I recommend going against conventions, and then ASIN specifically, like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I go to all these conventions.
Unless
and,
you have a goal,
and I never really get to see. I never see like a power suit Samus.
Yeah. Well, if one is there, there'll always be a crowd.
I mean, because you think about it, that game is tailor made for a tabletop RPG. It has all of the elements to it.
I mean, it's definitely a decent sci-fi universe.
Yeah, it's a decent sci-fi universe.
Need more background story though. Like, because we really only know like Samus's like as far as Metroid lore goes, you know, like Samus's story, like was raised by those weird bird things, the Chozo or whatever, and then has the power suit. Like that's it. Like and Mother Brain. Craig,
you should get a tattoo of like the really racist Mother Brain
from Captain N.
Yeah.
Nice.
That thing is so unbelievably racist.
It's from the 80s.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty standard.
No, but I mean, the 80s things were kind of getting away from that level of racism.
80s had the McDonald's Shanghai commercials. Oh, you have chicken nugget from McDonald's. It's three oriental sauces. Like, that's literally the commercial.
Yeah, I know.
He says oriental sauces.
Yeah, but it was easier. It was okay to make fun of.
It was a simpler time.
It was okay to make fun of Asians in the 80s, okay? Like, there's levels. Like, we're growing as a society, people. We're not as bad as we used to be. You can't just...
That's debatable.
Yeah.
I'd say that humanity remains... I personally believe that humanity, in general, maintains a constant level of badness. Like, for every step we improve, we always go somewhere, like, negative somewhere else. Like, there's always a balance so that we end up being, in general... in on a cosmic level, shitlords.
That's I will give you that. That we always remain like it's
our shitlordian status remains a constant.
Well, that's the thing. I believe that there's some genetic thing inside of human, at least on like the white people gene. I can't speak for any other race, any other people on the planet, but I could say for white people that there is something in our genome where, like, we, like, even if we try to improve a little bit, like, there's another part of us that just gets shittier. Like, it's like, oh, okay, you know, we're going to be more accepting of other people.
And now we're also not going to believe in vaccines.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's like, there's got to be some switch in our brain where it's like, oh, okay, you know, it's like, oh, I want to recycle and take care of the environment. Global warming is a hoax. What? How does that even mix together? Yeah. It's like you think that global warming is a hoax, but you recycle. Yeah.
See? That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
there's an equilibrium of shitlordian status.
And I think that's it's got to be in the white people genome. It's just what it's just got to be. It's like, oh, we're going to accept refugees in. Brexit! You know, like that. That's for our European listeners, by the way. Just have you though there?
Oh, I have. I actually have something from one of our European listeners. I gotta find it. I promised him I would try and read it on the cast. Oh,
okay, is it Swedish?
Yes. I gotta find it. Hang on.
Hey, you know where my book is? My Swedish. Oh, I know where it is.
All right, cool. It's being delivered to me.
Ooh,
it's gonna be fun. This was sent to me from Sweden by Jens. I don't know how to say his name.
Jens. It's a soft J, like Yagi.
Yeah, it could be. This is Trudvang's Hjaltar. It is a big time.
Oh, that's a cool looking dragon.
Yeah, it's the art's fucking great.
Here's
some character sheets.
Oh, character sheets, nice.
It's some big time
Kropstel.
Swedish RPG.
Höger arm. Vinster arm.
That is
Brostkrog. Quarter.
Being translated into English. It's in a Kickstarter, or the Kickstarter's done.
Oh, good, Ben.
And three more. So, Valkommen til Sagan's Varld, which means welcome to Sagan's world. I don't know. So this is Draktar, Ok Demoner Trudvang.
I'm going to stop you just for a second, Steve.
Trudvang's Hjaltar.
I'm going to give you a bit of advice that I learned when reading any foreign script.
Should I just be going... Burr, 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 burr.
When you read it, you try to do a gross accent. Like, what you think that they would sound like when you say it, and you actually learn that you're pronouncing it more correctly when you're doing it.
Har du aldrig spilat avinspil avinkalet rallspil.
You're doing you're doing Austrian. You need to go northern.
Borja med at bladralate.
Now you're doing German. You're getting close. You're getting a little bit northern.
Regel systemet I quartet.
Let me see. I'm gonna try some of this.
Roll person in. Vad are en roll person?
Oh, so you're rolling for a person. Okay.
Rasser och Volkslag. It's really cool. The art's awesome. Take a look. There's a horse cock in there.
What?
I put it up on the...
you love it when they put a horse cock up.
Anatomical correctness is my favorite thing in illustration.
Oh, that's a cool... You gotta hand it to the Scandinavians. They must have nothing to do when it's winter, like for 8 months out of the year.
Isn't always winter?
Yeah.
So they've got that one day where the sun's out. Like, oh, time to go outside.
Forad en kalkul och inspirade. Detta är det tre ledord.
I want Jens to decide which one of us was better at reading this.
What?
I want Jens to decide which one of us was better at reading this.
Yeah.
As the native Swedishman.
Har du aldrig spelat avitspil?
You just sound like that Offspring song.
Boyer med
what the hell is it?
Gieben,
globen, globen, glieben.
Intergladen, glieben, globen. Yes. That's actually from Slippery When Wet, but yes.
I don't know what that means.
That's Bon Jovi, man. Come on. Försök inte att lassa och lära dig allt från parm till parm.
We've done it.
We've done it!
And now let's roll up characters.
Apparently, yeah. I've died by dragon.
The art is really sweet. I was like, because he asked if he should send me the English one, and I was like, nah, just fucking send me the Swedish one.
Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna play it.
Yeah, I'll use it just as much.
Yeah.
There's the horse dick.
Oh, it's on the last page. Nice.
Very nice. So it's a very cool piece to add to my collection. I very much appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty big. People really seem to like it. So. I mean, I'm down. I mean, looks cool.
I do like
that he sent me fucking character sheets. Like, what am I going to do with these? Like, this is actually, like, garbage. I'm going to put it in the book, and it's going to stay with the book forever. But, like, what am I going to do with this?
I don't understand any of these words. Maybe you should learn Swedish instead of Japanese.
Yeah.
Yay.
That means no.
Oh, okay.
And it came with a cool map, though, too.
Ah,
the map's badass.
Is that like the fake Europe or fake Eurasia fantasy world?
It's Trudvang.
Trudvang.
So it's just a big...
Trudvang. I think it's Trudvang.
Whatever.
Or it could be... Well, yeah, it would probably be Trud. I don't know. Trud.
Yeah.
Trudvang.
Yeah, I don't know.
Vang.
I have no...
They have a lot of umlauts.
Yeah, right. And like, but are they the same rules as like the German umlauts? I don't fucking know.
Generally, it's about the same.
So like, yeah, trying to read... I find reading foreign, like, anything that has English characters is always really difficult. Like, the sole exception of Spanish, because I took Spanish for, like, a year, so I can at least read that, like...
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Yeah, exactly. ¿Está bien?
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
¿Dónde está la zapatería?
Well, you were in Disney World, so, por favor, manténganse a todos los puertos.
Oh, but, you know what? There was no Brazilians.
No, that's Brazilians. That's from the, the monorail. It's like, please stand clear of the door.
Yes. And then they say, grab small children by the hand, but I don't remember. They say something about niños.
Por las manos. Yeah. I'm terrible with languages. It's like one of those things that I always wanted to learn. I want to learn multiple languages, but I don't have the brain for it. Like, for some odd reason, like, I can't, I can read Spanish, I can read multiple languages, fine. I can even translate them, but I cannot speak it for damn. And I blame this Chicago accent, because everything is like, ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? ¿Dónde está la Maxwell Street Polish?
I always think of how interesting it would sound to have, like, someone with, like, a southern accent start trying to learn Japanese. I want to hear what they sound like speaking Japanese. I don't think that's a thing.
Y'all got some of those Pokemons.
Yeah, I don't even know how to go about, like,
give me something to say in Japanese.
What do you want to say?
Like, just give me something. I'll see if I can put it in a drawl.
Okay. Watashi no namae wa Joe des.
Watashi no namae wa Joe des. I couldn't understand all of what you said right off the bat.
That's my name is Joe.
Oh,
Watashi wa no namae wa Joe des.
But
that's like so I learned that, like, that's how a lot of people, when they first learn Japanese, that's how they learn to say their name.
Naginata.
And that's like, that's grammatically correct, yeah. But like, that's not how people talk.
Yeah.
So like, if you were to say like,
Mosh Mushi.
If you were to say your name, like, you'd be like, Joto Moshita. Like, that would be like, that's like how, like, you would like say it to like a normal person.
Yeah. Well, that's why I always tell people when they speak Spanish to me, I'm like, please use the formal usted with me.
Ustedes.
The Spanish translators at my work always get a kick out of that.
use the formal usted.
All right. Let's get into some other gaming stuff. We talked about some really quick. But so I guess the big thing since we were off, by the way, I am recovering nicely from my spinal surgery.
You said you're more concrete than man?
I'm more sidewalk than man. That's what I like to say. I got cement injected into my spine. It feels pretty good, but aside from that, the 40K release, that happened. Huge. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's playing it. I've been to
big time
three game stores in the last 2 weeks. Multiple times, different game stores, and everyone is playing 40K again. It's pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And the games don't seem to be that ridiculous sized. I know that the last few times I saw 40K being played in the old edition as opposed to the new edition, the armies have been ridiculously large and stupid. This one, it seems like a lot smaller. People are playing around, I think, 75 points. I think that's what they... 75 to 100 points is kind of like the norm right now. I don't know off the top of my head, though, like online, because I refuse to go to any 40K forums. I refuse to go to any 40K forums. The only forums I will go to is if it's Old Hammer now, because it's just old people complaining about stuff. How do I get lead rot off my figures? That sort of thing. But yeah, that's happening. And they've been talking about all the new Space Marine releases, whatever. They're just redoing the Space Marine, because the releases for that has been Primaris,
Primaris Assault Troops and Primaris Scouts so far. So
the
you're
Scouts
like,
are cool looking.
Yeah. And, but they call them something like Stalkers, like Primaris Stalkers. It's like, dude, they're just replacing your Space Marine army. That's all that they're doing.
Yeah.
So just you can get rid of your Space Marines. You don't need them anymore. No one's going to play with them anymore. They're doing this Primaris crap. Because that's what it will be from now on. So that's, you know, they released that. And I think they've, I don't know, who knows what they're doing next. Hopefully squats. Squats are coming back, Steve.
Squats. Well, they brought them back in the canon, someone said.
Yes, they did. Squats are back. They're back.
Good old squats.
Oh, I'm going to run that squat army. It was Tom Tim Lyson that's what I will be doing. I'll be playing a squat army because I refuse to play anything else on that. What else has happened? Didn't some magic, like, big magic-y thing happen? Like, they changed formats again?
So Magic had a big format shakeup not too long ago. They removed core sets, and they changed everything to two-set blocks. So there would be big set, small set, big set, small set, big set, small set, and they added another block to a year. So there'd be four sets instead of three. So they went big set, small set, big set, small set, big set, small set, no cores. They found out that small sets still suck.
Yeah.
They thought it was the third set that was causing the, like, dip, but it turns out it's just small sets because there's just not enough design space to make things. Like, so they would introduce a mechanic in the big set and, like, detect or whatever, and then people would be like, oh, this is cool, and then they do the small set, and the small set doesn't have detect because it, like, advances the story and changes it, so then, like, people are like, what? Like, this, you didn't fully explore this, like, this mechanic, like, fuck, like, what, now you have a new mechanic. And, like, they kind of just put in, like, when they would do new mechanics, for the most part, it would end up being, like, half finished just because there wasn't enough, and then they would go to the next set and there'd be another half finished mechanic that wasn't the same. So small sets still sucked ass. So what they've done is they've now gone back on that. They're no longer doing small sets. Magic is being changed to just big sets. There's only going to be big sets that are meant to be drafted alone, and they're bringing core sets back. So now it's just going to be big set, big set, big set, core set. Big set, big set, big set, core set. So they're no longer worrying about trying to tie in thematic elements between a big set and a small set, and new mechanics will be strictly done for big sets. And I think it's a super smart move. And it's funny because Magic was the only game that had that kind of block system, and it only existed because it's still Magic, so it's huge. But literally every other card game that has ever come out, successful or not, all do independent sets. They've all done that. Like, no one has done the small subset because it's bad. Okay. Like, it's been bad for a really long time, but it just takes forever for companies to realize what actually is causing the issue. Like, they thought it was the third set, you know, being like a... It was like, oh, people are burnt out on the set, blah, 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 because it's, you know, going for so long. So we'll get rid of the third set. Turns out it's just because small sets suck.
Yeah.
And they've always sucked.
Can't really. I don't argue that. I just don't understand how people can collect that much magic. There's so much.
It's their hobby.
How many cards are in a set for Magic? Like 100?
It depends, but I think the big sets are usually like 240, give or take. But like most people don't try and collect them all. You just get useful stuff.
Yeah,
because so many Magic cards are literally garbage.
Yeah, but I mean, you at least get, you know, one copy of the garbage just to have.
Most people don't do that.
Most people don't do that. Yeah. No. Wow. I thought maybe that'd be interesting, but whatever. So I made these up.
Oh, your conversion bases.
Yeah. It turns out, so I, you know, Steve and I have been talking about playing some Age of Sigmar, and all my guys are on square bases because I refuse to put fantasy models on circle bases. I don't care how much it's supposed to be. I can't do it. It's evil. It's evil on levels that shouldn't be.
I love it.
I can't. I mean,
I love it.
I can't even describe it how much it upsets me to put a fantasy model on a circle base. So I casted up some round bases that you could slot in squares.
As someone who played D&D for a really long time, I can say that fantasy models on circle bases is totally fine.
Nope.
Yeah, so Joe made these little disc things that have square holes in them.
Yeah.
So you can convert your figures.
Yes.
They look sweet. I keep telling him you should just make a batch of them and just try and sell them.
There's a guy who's actually doing that, local Chicago guy. So I'm not going to... He does it like a much better version than I do.
All right.
Because he probably has professional casting equipment as opposed to amateur. But he did... He's doing them for all base sizes. I'm just doing them for 20 mils right now. So I may just buy his stuff and cast it myself if I need it.
It seems good.
Maybe not. It's Elric's Hobbies, if you're interested. However, his website doesn't have any of the, like, the slotted in stuff. I was at Grognard Games, and he showed me some of them, and I was like, oh, these are really nice. I'm gonna go check online and see what he's got, and check out the prices, and like, you know, get you the amounts that I want of mm-hmm. each one. And I go to the website, it's not on there. So I'm like, well, screw you. I'm not gonna deal with this nonsense. Okay, other gaming stuff. So we got multiple references of Get Out.
Get Out?
The movie.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. I was making jokes, but I can't say them on the podcast because I'll probably end up getting in trouble for it.
Nice.
The Green Horde for Cool Minis Kickstarter ended $5 million. Over $5 million.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. It's a good Kickstarter too. Ton of stuff. I'm probably going to resell it once I get it, because with that much free stuff, it's like, might as well just resell all the stuff that I don't want. They got a cool zombie giant, which is part of what I just wanted. They got a zombie giant and a zombie dragon, so I'm like, I'll take those. I'll sell the rest of this. You know, I'm just gonna pick and choose the models that I want, because I like some of the, like, they do like the what's it called? Like, this is like a famous character, a famous person, and they put him in, you know, in fantasy armor mm-hmm. or whatever. There's a Freddie Mercury, so I was like,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, let's get the Freddie Mercury and put that up there. But I'll sell the rest. Now they're prepping for Game of Thrones, which I don't think it'll do as well as Zombicide.
Nah, not a chance.
And it's looked like it looks currently right now like it's going to be a like Rune Wars.
I think it's going to come out, and I think it's going to bomb.
You think it's going to bomb?
I think it's going to bomb. Yeah, I think they're expecting it to do really well, and I don't think it's going to do really well at all. I think it's going to bomb.
I think part of the problem with that
is Rune Wars was pretty much DOA. Like, and Rune Wars looked good.
Rune Wars actually plays really well too.
DOA.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's playing Rune Wars. Not one.
Yeah, at least not in this area. I see some people painted up online, but not, I don't know. It may have a cult following, but aside from that, the figures are really nice.
Yeah. They look cool. They've got a very like Warcraft aesthetic.
Yeah, they're very
so like if you like that Warcraft like giant like oversized bodies and pauldrons and stuff, like that's your aesthetic.
Yeah.
They their humans literally look like alliance humans.
Yeah. Oh, it does. And, you know, they got their Skelebones, and they got the elves coming out. It's very, very nice. It's a good system.
And they have the Chaos Warriors coming soon.
Yeah.
They're not Chaos Warriors.
They're not. And I think the expansions are like, it's like $20-$25. You get like two of those bases that you can add on to it. So it's for the cavalry, it's like four guys, two bases is four guys. And then humans, it's eight guys, two bases. So it's like $20-$25. It's not an expensive game.
Yeah.
As Steve said, nobody's really playing it.
I think I've actually reached a determination. I don't think price ever matters with miniatures games. I don't think it being too expensive or too cheap ever prohibits or encourages people to join outside of outliers. Like for like as a general like rule of thumb, like some people are going to be turned off by price or turned on by price, but I think overall one of the determining factors that makes a miniatures game successful is never price. Because if you look at it, like if you look at any game that succeeded or failed, their pricing structures are always like all over the place. Like Warhammer is super expensive for the most part, and it's the most popular with a fucking like by a mile. War Machine, arguably, when it was at its most popular, became its most expensive version. Like, you had to buy the giant models, and like you had to add more. Like, it was the most expensive entry point in War Machine was when it was most popular. Cheap games like Confrontation was like super cheap to build a playable army. Confrontation cost nothing, and like nobody played that game. People bought the models because they were amazing models, but as far as the game goes, like the game was dead. You know, like no one really played. There was like one guy who's like always looking for the game. Like, hey, yeah, you got Confrontation. You want to play? It's like, no, I have models, but I don't want to play.
I do want to play. Not you.
Yeah. Not you, buddy.
Not you.
So, yeah, I think pricing structures are just not really there. And like X-Wing, in terms of X-Wing's a good example.
A fuck-ass expensive game.
Right, right. When you're looking at what you're paying for, like, people gripe about workshop prices. Have you seen how much X-Wing ships cost? They're ludicrous. It's
$15
for a tiny-ass TIE fighter. Like, imagine building a fucking guardsman army where each of your guardsmen is $15.
Yeah. Well, that's not necessarily...
But you know what I mean. Like, a guardsman's bigger than a TIE fighter.
Yeah. I mean, like, to play a TIE fighter, or to play, like...
You need, like, 9 TIE fighters, yeah. I think.
So that's, like... That's close to $135 for that. You could build a 40K army for $135 and not spend and have it be decent sized.
Yeah, I mean the starter boxes they added, you get a lot of stuff in those getting started sets.
Yeah, so let's say that you need 10 TIE fighters or let's say 10 ships when you're playing X-Wing. So you get your 10 it's $150. So let's say the ground level $150.
Yeah, I think even the lists that are smaller, because they use bigger ships, the price ends up being about the same.
So let's say it's about $150 to have a playable, competitive force for X-Wing. $150. So for $150, let's say you get your Getting Started box set for 75 bones from GW. And so let's say you're doing...
I mean, you can get 2 Getting Started sets.
Yeah, you can get 2.
You can get 2 Getting Started sets, and then you have almost a... Like, with the Nurgle Demons I got, like, I have 2 Getting Started sets. That's how I started, and, like, that was the majority of my army right there.
Yeah.
Just 2 Getting Started sets.
Yeah. I mean, you have to... You buy the... So, let's say you're doing Nurgle Demons, right? So, you buy a box of the... Whatever the Battle for Jackass Point, or whatever they're calling the new box.
Oh, Plague Marines?
Yeah, whatever that one
is. Okay, yeah. Dark Imperium.
Dark Imperium,
I believe.
So what's Dark Imperium? I think is like $150. Let's say you split it in half, you get 70. You sell off the Space Marines, you get your money back for it, whatever. Let's say you know a person who works at the store, you get a little bit of a discount, you know, that sort of thing. So you get that. You have to buy your all the war scrolls and everything are free online. Mm-hmm. So you have your army. You got the main rule book and everything that you need to play right there. So you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Then so that's $75, and then you add like, I don't know, $30-$35 to get a tank, and you know, $50 on random crap that you...
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna spend more to make a Warhammer army, but you're gonna get more, like, in just terms of like figures. Like, you know, that $150 for X-Wing, you're getting like 10 models.
Yeah.
So it's very, very expensive in those kind of terms. But I mean, it's time investment's less, because you know, you don't need to put anything together. It's already painted, it's done. But again, that just goes back to my point, like, the actual pricing doesn't actually matter.
Yeah,
it's all about something else.
Batman miniature games.
Right, and that game is ludicrously expensive.
Ludicrously expensive and terrible.
The models are nice.
Yeah, the models are okay.
The models are nice. They look like what they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, the little Bane looks like a little Tom Hardy.
But I just don't understand why you'd want a model.
You know why you'd want a little Bane? It's so you could do this. That would be very painful for you. That's why.
I mean, like, the whole selling point of that game is the figures.
I don't think anyone's playing that game. I think people are buying
the
figures.
They are.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It's big, and it's getting bigger all the time. All
right,
and I think part of the reason, though, is the proliferation of MDF terrain, because now people are legit making, like, Gotham City terrain.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool, and it's huge. It's game store terrain is what it is. It's like, this is terrain that if you have a game store, you put this terrain out so that you can promote this game that you're selling.
That's pretty rad, though.
Because that was going to be my add-on.
So there you go. Aesthetics are super important for your game.
Yeah. I think...
The rule set is clearly but people play it.
Yeah. So I think what I think is the main thing for any game that to sell is just, it's got to be the store promotion for it.
Oh yeah, store. Well, in-store play is a huge factor for any game. You know, if you want to play
miniatures game, this is not board game miniatures.
Yeah,
game.
Well, board games you don't need anything. You can just walk in, buy the board game, and leave.
Yeah. Which is I recommend.
Yeah, I suggest. But like with minis games, it's always like, what do you like? Like I said, when I went to that Dark Age tournament, there was that fucking crew from New Jersey who like came to fucking Gen Con. There was like 12 of them, and it's just
hey,
like,
we're gonna play Dark Age.
They fucking rocked everyone because they play Dark Age against each other all the time, so they knew they actually had a meta. So they were like, oh yeah, we built this list because it's really fucking strong. And it's just like, I've never even seen this because I don't know anyone who plays Dark Age. So
it's like, my list is got a bunch of these figures and some gabagool.
Yeah, I go, look at it. Look at it. Look at the tan on. Look at the tan spray of this guy. Look at him. Look at him. I put a little, I green stuff, some little sunglasses on him.
Look at his jabroni. Look at his jabroni hair.
You garbage. Get off the table, you garbage.
Hey, look at this guy playing his list over here. What does he think he is? He thinks he's going to roll some dice and beat me
that's
with
kinda,
that list?
That's kind of New York.
I can't really. There's not really a difference.
They're like, I think it's what they say. I think I think if you're Jersey Shore, you're talking about spray tans.
Well, yeah.
Spray tans. Well, spray tans.
My real, like a real Jersey accent to me would be Joe Pesci, and I can't do a Joe Pesci.
Oh, man, Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
I like Joe Pesci. He hasn't been in a movie in forever.
Well, he's retired.
Oh, is he retired? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
His last movie, I think, was The Good Shepherd.
Okay.
And I like that movie was.
They need to bring.
I liked it, but it was like.
They need to bring back all the mobster guys and do an old man mobster movie.
No, I'd hate that trope of like, let's bring back all the old guys and we'll do an old guy version.
Well,
of this movie.
Not an old guy version. Like they need to do like, what you know how in the mobster movies, the old mobster movies, there's always like the protagonist characters, and then there's the old mobsters in that movie as well.
Yeah.
They need to make a new mobster movie with new actors as the young mobster protagonists, but the old mobster actors as the old mobster guys.
So I've been on,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I've been on medication for the back, and one of the pills that they have me on is Ambien, because I'm, you know, to get me to sleep, so I'm not tossing and turning and hurt my back. So I take, so I've been getting better, so I'm not taking the Ambien as much. So the other night, I didn't take my Ambien, so I was up from, I got like maybe 3 hours, 4 hours of sleep, and I was like up, and I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm up. So I got up and
watched Goodfellas.
I watched Goodfellas, 3 a.m. Put on Goodfellas. I'm like, I'm just gonna watch Goodfellas. Fuck all y'all. This movie's amazing.
Yeah. So you go. That's what they need to do. Not the trope of like, hey, look at these guys, they're old, but the like, just make a new mobster movie.
Yeah.
And
well,
then
what
have
what they need to do is they need to make a good mobster movie,
right? And cast the old classic mobster actors as the old thing, and pass that mobster torch.
Yeah, I mean, you guys just find some new Italian actors. You know, that's all you got to go.
I mean, James Gandolfini's dead, so I don't know what else.
James Gandolfini. I can't do Joe Pesci. I try.
Yeah.
It's
James Gandolfini. I can't do James Gandolfini either because I don't have that deviated
septum. like I do. You know, yeah. You gotta get that in the nose. You know.
You think you could talk to me like that?
Why are you gonna talk to me like that?
You think you could talk to me like that in front of my wife and kids? Fucking break you.
Is it Spider in Goodfellas where Joe Pesci's like, he goes, fuck you, Tommy.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you hear that, Tommy? That confused my ears. You go. And Spider's like, ah, fuck you. And he's shooting him. I can't do it. I try. Whatever, Joe Pesci's a genius.
Yeah, he's really great.
Yeah, so on that. But getting back to what we're talking about.
Leader of the Wet Bandits.
Speaking of mobsters, is it Godfather got released?
Not yet.
That game's got a ton of buzz. Like, I've seen, like, that game's probably going to... I would try and get a copy because that's probably going to sell out pretty quick.
It looks pretty good.
Did you fart?
I did.
Oh, God. I'm like 20 feet away from you and I can smell it. I'm all off my game. Steve redid his apartment. So I'm like, I'm on the opposite side of the table that I'm normally on. I can't handle this.
I'm farting.
Steve's farting. I haven't taken my pain meds yet.
All night long. All night.
Well, I know. I took
my. I'm actually going to fart again. Oh, nope. I'm not because I would shit my pants. I'd shit my pants.
Oh, God almighty.
All right, good. I did not shit my pants. Okay.
You got to hold out for at least another 15 minutes.
Yeah, I would have shit my pants, though. If I forced that out, yeah, I'd have pooped them.
No, I think the Game of Thrones is probably not going to do as well. A, because I think there will be an initial buy on Kickstarter. I think it'll do fairly well. I think it'll make...
The Kickstarter will be fine, but like I still
think it'll make 1.5 to 2.
I still believe that the majority of people who buy Kickstarters just put it in their closet and never touch it.
Well, that's true. Well, I mean, that's true for most miniature players.
But I mean, just in general, like whatever
look at your
it is,
closet, Steve.
Even my closet's empty, bro.
Brah.
You
gotta open up some of those Nurgleits.
Yeah, I'm gonna do them all at the same time.
Yeah, with the War Shrine.
Yeah, I got some old ass
War Shrine.
I got some classic Nurgle minis. I got the dude with the fly head and the axe.
Ooh.
And the fat guy with the plasma pistol.
Where'd you get those guys from?
eBay.
Oh, eBay.
$3 each.
eBay.
Yeah.
eBay.
I'm going to put them on the Chaos War Shrine, so make it nurgly up. Because, like, with the exception of the dude on top, who's, like, a ripped, like, marauder, the, like, gross-ass trolls, they already look pretty nurgly. So, like, just throwing those Nurgle guys on top of the War Shrine should look really fucking sweet.
So you get the War Shrine, you got Glatkin, you got three of those, whatever those
the
dudes
Magath
are.
The Magath Lords, one each, because they're special characters, so.
Oh, so there's three, okay.
That kit builds one of three. So
okay.
I'll have each Magath Lord.
And then you got some of the, like, the
25 Putrid Blight Kings.
Oh, okay.
And then I have these are the blisters for each individual figure. So Festus and everything. I have every Nurgle Immortal mini.
Okay. So you play against my dwarves. I think my dwarves would be able to handle the Nurgles because they got a lot of anti-magic.
Yeah. Well, the Nurgle stuff is, like, tough. Like, that. Like, because yeah. I'm not playing a Chaos list. I'm just playing a Nurgle list. So the strength that they have, like, they don't really do a lot of offensive damage, but they're tough as shit. Like,
well,
they're really hard
Nurgle's
to kill.
Got some nasty magic. I've played against
the magic is strong, yeah. But, like, they're like, their units don't, like, really, like, they don't cleave through things like Khorne or anything.
Oh yeah. Well, that's why
like regular Chaos does more damage than they do, but, like, they're fucking hard as shit to kill.
I'll have a lot of guns. Yeah, I'll just a lot of guns. Got a lot of guns.
We got guns.
All right. Back to, I keep getting deviated from my point. hold on a second. Ooh. Damn it. Oh, whatever. I don't need it. the Game of Thrones stuff. I think part of the reason is I think Game of Thrones is kind of on its way out in the cultural zeitgeist. It's kind of like how Lord of the Rings was, everybody loved Lord of the Rings, and now, like, nobody really talks about Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. The only people that are really into Harry Potter are kind of, I don't know.
Well, the mainstream, what everyone's talking about is always just the ebb and flow.
Yeah.
So, like, that's currently Marvel movies, and then that'll shift to whatever after the Marvel movies go away. That's just what it is.
Whatever, yeah, I keep trying to tell like my wife, like, Harry Potter's not relevant anymore, and she's like, "Screw you! I love Harry Potter."
I'm she's well out of love. It's just not. It's at the same level of, like, that's the thing. Harry Potter is going to be, for Harry Potter fans, it's going to be Star Wars, where, like, they keep the fire burning and it moves and moves. But until,
why does nobody else complain about the goddamn time turner? It is like the worst Deus Ex Machina ever in the history of writing.
Are you saying it's because nobody uses it ever again? Because,
well, yeah,
like, it's could have easily won every
scenario. yes, Steve. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like
they should have.
And it was like in the third fucking book.
They should have
seven of those books.
Probably, like, destroyed it. Like, been like, it doesn't work anymore. Like, at least something. Because that's how you clean up, like, super powerful items. Like, if you want to use the Deus Ex Machina to do it, it's cool. And in the movie, like, the sequence where they reverse time, like, that was cool. It was fun, like, when they were seeing themselves.
Yeah.
That sequence was cool. But, like, leaving that as a, like, where did it becomes like a, where did it go? It becomes a plot hole. It's where did it go?
Yeah. And even more than that, you could have done, like, the, oh, this only works for, like, an hour at a time, or something like that. Like, you get 2 hours max using the time turner.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
So, like, you know, when Harry Potter's family's killed, he could have been like by the time that they find out that Harry Potter's family's killed, it's like, oh, we can't even use the time turner to go back.
Yeah,
you know?
It gives, like, give it a threshold, like a one day.
Yeah, or something like that. Like 6 hours, something, so you don't have to deal with this nonsense of time travel plot holes. I'm sorry, time travel is one of those things that in fantasy and science fiction, or anything, like, if you don't use it correctly, it just drives me absolutely up the wall. It is, like, automatic. I'm not gonna like your thing anymore.
Yeah, time travel's rough. They always have, like, you gotta give it a very specific, like, I think the Terminator has a good rule set where it's like, you go back in time, you can only go one direction, you can't come back.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you're sent, you can't bring anything. They covered a lot of their bases in that first film where it's like, why didn't you bring any future guns? Can't. Can only bring organic matter. How come the Terminator went through? He's wrapped in organic matter. Like,
well, how come you can't wrap the gun in organic matter?
Because
plot hole.
It's very, very quickly and easily. Because they're the rebellion of humans, so they can't print flesh.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the Terminator. How come the Terminator couldn't just put, like, a gun in his stomach?
Oh, yeah, I guess in theory they could.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the same thing with Star Trek. Like, why do the Klingons not look like Klingons in the original series? Well, because they're these weird variant of Klingons that were made from a cloning hybrid, when the real answer is just they just didn't have that makeup technology.
Oh, gee, at the time. No, I agree with that, but yeah. The don't get me no. I think the Terminator's okay in terms of its use of time travel. I have way other problems with Terminator.
Also, actually, you know what? The Terminator itself wouldn't need the future weapons. Now that I think about it, like the Terminator would like the only the bringing a future weapon. If the Terminator brought a future weapon, that would actually only be downside.
Why did they make the Terminator to look like a person?
Well, because they sneak in and they infiltrate and they kill the camps.
That's it. Yeah, that's no. You don't really need all that. They're super robots that kill people.
Well, I mean, they bust in, but like the Terminators are like an advance, like a scout. They're just scouts. So like you send one Terminator out to find where they are. They go in, they start killing people and relay the locations of human bases. Like it's reasonable. But yeah, now they think about it, like they probably could make a gun, like bring a gun wrapped in like gross ass skin and like bring it back.
Skin gun.
But the Terminator wouldn't want to do that because the Terminator can use conventional weapons to kill the shit out of humans and not be contested in any way. But if he brought a future weapon back, if on some circumstance he lost that future weapon, a human could grab the future weapon and have a weapon capable of defeating the Terminator.
Well, how come hair comes back then?
Or it's organic.
So how come cotton can't come back?
I guess cotton could.
Yeah, so if you wear a nice pair of denim, you could.
Well,
try
yeah,
it
exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's clearly wearing like a polyester blend or something.
Or leather. Leather is yeah. organic as well.
Yeah, then he probably could come
as
back wearing leather.
As long as you're not wearing like a polyester blend, yeah, you're not going to have any problems.
So they're saying like maybe he had like a polyester, like a 50-50 shirt, so like half the shirt disappears.
Well, yeah, you get some. Well, I mean, for the, you know, that's, I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of issues in that. Could you wrap the gun? Like, could Kyle Reese have like wrapped the gun in like a fleece blanket and been okay?
Yeah, that's, well, I think it would probably need to like just going off of like a guess and like basic reasoning, I think it has to be a complete like an
ensorcelment.
Yes, it has to be completely enclosed.
Yeah,
so like the Terminator works because he's head to toe covered in skin.
Yeah.
And then that's the only reason it works. So like for you to bring back a gun, it would need to be completely enveloped in flesh.
I just see you
not like, in like a little pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I get that like there's lots of ways that you can explain it away. It just it's really kind of just hand waved. Like, oh, you can't bring it back. Okay. Oh, all right. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, but at least, like, regardless of, like, whether or not, like, you want to pick apart the rule, they at least established the rules. Like, so, like, you can't be like, how come you didn't bring any future guns? Like, you can't. Like, they at least were like, oh, okay.
Well, because, like, if I was Kyle Reese, like, what I would have done is I would have, like, had a bunch of stuff written down, like, important stuff that, you know, could help humans in
lottery
cases.
Tickets?
Well, like, and then I would put them in gel caps or, like, a capsule and then swallowed it like a drug mule.
Nice.
And then traveled back in time and puked them up or pooped them out and then given it to, like, the important people that are going to help out, that are going to need this stuff to do whatever, mind you. But that was just me, you know, thinking with in use of time travel. No, actually, in my opinion, the most perfect use of time travel is Back to the Future, of course. But... Perfect soundtrack.
It's a good soundtrack.
We did Judge Dredd for the last Comic Book Logic.
The Stallone movie?
The Stallone one.
I like that movie.
It's awful. It is one of the worst movies I've ever seen
it's
in my
terrible.
Life.
It's terrible.
There's nothing redeeming about it at all.
War. What are you talking about? Rob Schneider. that's another classic Stallone Rob Schneider vehicle.
I just like that it's like Stallone's like, hey, you know, I did Demolition Man about a cop who was framed. I'm going to get my buddy Rob Schneider, who's in that movie, and we'll do this movie about a cop who was framed for something he didn't do.
Armando Sante.
Oh, that movie is so bad on so many levels.
Yeah, it's awful. It's great.
It's one of the few movies on Comic Book Logic that I ever gave an F grade to.
That movie's awful. It's so good.
it's not even, like, redeeming awful.
I disagree. I find that movie to be, like, a room level. Like, it, like, cracks me up.
Okay, well, it's unintentionally funny. Yes, I will give you that. However, if I'm looking at a movie in a critical eye of like, you know, is this a movie that's worth watching? No, not at all. There's so many better movies that I would rather watch, including the remake.
Dredd is fantastic. Yeah. Like, I mean, Dredd is so good. I really want another one. I heard they're going to do a Netflix show with Carl Urban.
I'm tired of people.
Which is weird.
I'll get on another thing. I complain about the time travel. I'm going to complain about people like saying like everything needs to have a goddamn Netflix or HBO show.
No. I'm not saying it needs to. No. Like people are, I think it's going to happen.
It is.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm tired of people saying that. Like,
oh, okay. Very good.
Like, this needs to be explored in an HBO series. Like, no, it doesn't. It's not that good. Like, you just like what's HBO going to give it that you can't get on network TV?
HBO.
Yeah, you can get
no
boobs.
Commercials. That's
you
what's going to give boobs. It. No commercials, boobs and butts.
And boobs and butts.
Yeah.
Maybe a penis. They're doing a lot of penises on HBO lately.
Nice.
Which is fine. I'm okay. As long as we can normalize nudity, I'm okay. But yeah, they're doing Watchmen now on HBO. I'm like, do we need Watchmen on HBO?
No.
No,
definitely
we don't.
Not.
The Zack Snyder movie wasn't that great.
I like that movie.
It's all right. I think I gave it like a B.
I thought it did the job well.
Going back and rereading Watchmen and then watching the movie, it's like Zack Snyder just needs to know how to, I don't know, add color to stuff. Like, his movies are so bad, like drab and nasty. You see Wonder Woman yet?
No.
No? It's good.
I heard it's good.
I would highly recommend it.
I heard it's good.
Despicable Me 3, do not highly recommend at all.
I was never gonna see that movie anyway.
You don't like the Minions, Steve?
Definitely not.
Oh, the Minions. You gotta love the Minions.
You don't, actually. You don't have to love the Minions.
All kids love the Minions.
That's true, they do.
And, yeah. But that Homecoming is coming out next week. I'm going to go see that in 3D.
Homecoming?
Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
So do we have any other...
Spitters Man.
Do we have any other gaming nonsense to talk
about?
Nah. I'm trying to think. All Out War came out in the stores. Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. People seem to like that game.
Yeah, they love Walking Dead. I like that they use...
I think Walking Dead is also going down in popularity as well.
I like that they use the comic book aesthetic as opposed to the TV aesthetic.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's also probably less expensive.
Yeah, probably.
You don't need to pay a bunch of fucking actors their likeness rights.
Bunch of fucking actors.
Bunch of goddamn actors over here.
Let's see... I think in my notes, the only other thing I wrote was don't deal with Spaniards.
Checks out.
Yeah. I ordered some stuff from Green Stuff World. Took forever. U.S. Customs sucks.
Well, they got to make sure there's no terrorists in your box.
I know. Yeah, my box, my Green Stuff roller. Got to make sure I'm not ordering any of that marijuana.
That's right.
Protect America from the marijuanas.
Protect America.
You got any of that? You got any of that? There was two marijuanas in that box. No, I think that's about it. So go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Commandthro.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. Best way you can help out the podcast, like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. For all of those who have liked, commented, and subscribed on iTunes, thank you. Thank you so much. There was something on Facebook, I think, that I was supposed to talk about.
Mm.
Now that I'm thinking about it, like... Oh no! Let me go check really quick.
You blew it.
You blew it. Hi, Lavinny. Dungeon Forge. No, everyone knows. Oh, for fuck's sake!
Jesus,
we didn't talk about Geek Chic.
Oh yes, Geek Chic's gone.
Yeah, it's So we're going to spend some time talking about this, and then we'll get back to the closing wrap-up. For those who've stuck around, you're going to be like, why is there like 5 more minutes on this podcast at the end? Geek Chic folded. They bought up another company. The company had like $10,000 in hidden debt, and they had to file for bankruptcy.
I mean, Geek Chic was also operating at a loss for many years.
Yeah.
They had a year where they made like $2.1 million in revenue and lost $100,000.
Yeah.
Like, that's really bad.
Well, Geek Chic was also, but I think a lot of that had to do with like that was outside of like their purview of like custom wood and woodworking for gaming stuff. Geek Chic did very, very nice stuff, and their stuff was high quality.
Yeah, it was nice.
Maybe not the price.
Way not worth the price. Come on. Yeah. Like, you could put together something yourself, like just kit bashing IKEA furniture that is like, I'm not going to say just as good because their stuff is really high end, but like just as usable.
Yeah. Well, and you can definitely make usable stuff on your own. Geek Chic was designing legacy furniture. I don't know. And woodworking legacy furniture is furniture that will get passed down from generation to generation. Like high quality, made with premium wood, hand milled, hand put together.
Right.
You don't use a lot of screw. Like a good.
a good indicator of good woodworking is you don't see screws. Like, they don't use screws in their stuff because screws will deteriorate, screws will rust, just from the wood, just from the moisture inside of the wood or something like that. Mm. They use wooden pegs, they use glue, they use all of this, the stuff that's going to make this stuff last forever.
Glue.
Yeah. They do quality add-ons and the fold-outs and the drawers. All of it's perfect. Still, I don't know if it's worth $10,000 for that table.
Yeah. The problem is, I'm not going to say I know their business in and out, but I would say, like, for me, I might be interested in something like that, but not at those prices. It would be nice if they had their lowest grade version was like $3,400.
Yeah.
Like, that's the price that's more expensive than a top end gaming laptop.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and even those low end tables that they had, if,
I mean, $3,400 is their low end. Like, that other one that I linked in the Geek Sheet closing, that Cornerstone or whatever, yeah, that are Spade. I don't know. Their tables are like $1,500.
Carolina game tables.
Their tables are like $1,500, which, yeah, is still really expensive. But like, it's half the price.
Yeah. Well, and the thing with those tables, and I will tell people this: go to a local woodworker. You can find them. Every town has a local woodworker. They have guys who do stuff like that.
Who work the wood.
Yeah. And a lot of them, like, you could show them that Carolina gaming table, something like that, and you could probably get it done for like $750.
Probably.
Like, it's not, like, the most expensive part will be the wood. And a lot of these guys just want to work on something. You know, like, they're just like, you're like, oh, well, you know, I like this. And they're like, oh, well, that'd be really cool to make. You know, it's like, yeah, how much do you think that will cost? You know, it's like, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. About $1,000. All right. Here's $1,000. Go make this. And they will make you something that's just as nice. Like, you go to, like, the DuPage County Fair is this weekend. You can go to the Kane County Flea Market is this weekend. You can go out to Kane County Flea Market, and you could find, like, woodworkers out there, and you're like, this is what I want. And they will make that for you.
For sure.
Now, as I say, the Geek Chic ones, they would, like, with those fold-out drawers where you could put your character sheets and, like, cup holders and everything like that. That's going to run you up. That's going to be, like, $5,000, yeah, probably. That's an expensive-ass table.
For sure. But, well, I mean, it's got all the bells and whistles.
Yeah. But $10,000,
you should pay more for bells and whistles.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always had issues with Geek Chic. I liked a lot of their other stuff. I like their comic book drawers that they did. I always thought those were gorgeous. Like, some of their other stuff.
From what I do understand, those, I believe they took deposits or full payments in advance.
And those aren't good. Yeah,
there's gonna be a lot of tables that don't get made.
No, those. I'm wondering if what's gonna happen with that. There will be people who try to sue, but I'm not sure how that's covered under bankruptcy. I'm not under that whole issue, because they were on Shark Tank and everything. And that's where, and the guy was like, "You're operating at $100,000 loss. What's going on?"
Yeah.
But it's because they were going into other, they were dipping their toes into other sauces.
Right, when they should have waited.
And other of the three oriental sauces, yeah. Going back to earlier.
Comes with the chopsticks. Yeah, if you want to check that out, just look for the McDonald's Shanghai commercials.
Not the Szechuan sauce.
Not the Szechuan sauce. That's from Mulan. That's a Disney movie tie-in. And the Szechuan sauce was pretty good. But like it's McDonald's Shanghai. Just look at McDonald's Shanghai commercial.
Yeah. Shanghai.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I just watched Temple of Doom. So yeah, Geek Chic is
no time for love, Dr. Jones.
Geek Chic is definitely out, which is kind of sad. They had some very, very, very nice stuff, and it was always fun to see them.
It was cool to see them at like Gen Con and stuff, like, ooh, look at this table I'll never buy.
Yeah. And I will never doubt the quality of their work, because their work was high-end quality.
Yeah, it was super nice.
Yeah, and especially because it was like one dude making everything. Mm-hmm. It was a dude and his like son, and they just made a couple bad investments. It's not like they were, I don't think that there was any sort of negligence on their parts.
Yeah, just, you, I mean, a lot of business is gambling, and not all your gambles pay off. All
right, so like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also listen to our sister podcast, Comic Book Logic Podcast, which is all about comic book movies. We're going to be doing Spider-Man Homecoming next week. Spider-Man Homecoming, as I like to call it. And you can listen to Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about the SNES Mini. And Pat complains about having to read. And he's like, well, Earthbound is stupid. Why is it stupid, Pat? No, but he is right. No one cared about the game until like the whole collecting market.
I loved Earthbound. As I played Earthbound when it was new, all my friends played. I told Pat, like, the experience of between us growing up, like, what games you played on SNES couldn't have been more different. Like, my entire friend group was like, you're playing Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy, Earthbound. Like, if it was an RPG on Super Nintendo, you were playing. If you weren't, they were like, why aren't you playing it? Like, it's weird. You know, Pat was probably playing sports games and shit. Like, you
Madden.
Know, yeah, probably playing fucking, you know, NHL or whatever. Like, we were all playing JRPGs.
No, Pat was all about fighting games. Like, he would play, like, Final Fight and Mortal Kombat and...
Well, I mean, I played those, too.
Yeah.
That's fighting games and JRPGs is all I played.
Well, you know what game is missing in the SNES? The SNES Mini? NBA Jam.
Come on and slam if you want to jam.
He's on fire.
It's got to be the shoes.
that game is amazing. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, so Steve, until next time. Intergluten gluten.
One, expert. Guda Poang Kastnad. Six, Varek Taget. One T10 plus one minuter. Rock. Vid personlig aktivering den utvald kan fanga parera eller undvika kastvapen den utvalde kan maximalt gora detta tiva ganger per spleldruna formagien kraver at den utvalde ser kavasnipt kanma ak at han inte utfor nagra andra han glingnar under sama spellrunda.
You better stop.
For at fanga et kastvapen maste den utvat hasen svardshan ledig.
So that was all about the Roland dice.
Why don't you
Das Roland dice?
Why does Swedish exist? They should speak an easy language like Japanese.
Game classy.